Welcome to Good Christophian Talks. I'm Levi.
And I'm Chris.
And I'm Brian. Thank you for joining us this week.
On this podcast, we select one talk a week to help us get the Bible in our daily newsfeed.
We post a new episode at the start of each week with a short intro beforehand to kind of set the stage for the talk you're about to listen to.
And now, let's talk more about this week's talk.
This week's class is the fourth class of four classes given by Brother Jeff Gelino, my dad, at the Belmont Study Day in 1998. Now, so Belmont is now called San Francisco Peninsula. They moved. And I really enjoyed this class. Obviously, I have a huge bias here listening to my dad, but I found it really interesting that this is him as a young man. He's younger in this class, when he's presenting this class, than I am now. I very much enjoyed this class. I think it's a concept, knowing my dad and knowing what he's kind of passionate about, that it's something he's been thinking about and caring about for a long time, basically that there are ideals, and then we fall short of ideals, which is, you know, sin, or we make actual mistakes, but then there are acceptable compromises, that the acceptable alternative is what the study day is called, and all four of the classes are about that, that sometimes we can get confused as are the ideals. Like, now the acceptable alternative is now the ideal, forgetting that we're only using this kind of construct to deal with our own failure and inability to consistently reach the ideal. Anyways, he applies it in this class to ecclesial life specifically, but this class was definitely the best one to share because he recaps the concept as a whole and then reviews the first three classes, and those have different applications, so family and work, on and on. I was very encouraged by this class. Again, it is, I obviously have a strong bias. Dad's been on the show before in episode 50. I think I posted that one as well. But this one is so much, it was very interesting for me because in episode 50, that was 15 years ago, but I remember him obviously very well at that time, kind of who he was as a man or whatever. And but this, I don't feel like I knew this person. I was 10 when he gave this class, and it was just very interesting to listen to. But I do think it's for me. But I think it would be interesting for anyone to listen to, which is why we're sharing it. There is obviously a problem with the audio. Basically, his voice was never as high as it is in this class. So there's something in the recording and how the recording was saved as a tape over time that changed the audio. It's very, very easy to understand. You're not going to have a problem listening to it. I just think it's worth stating for the record that his voice never sounded exactly like this. You'll see in just a minute. So here is Jeff Gelino, The Acceptable
Alternative. We've talked about some pretty strong topics this morning. I really wanted to get us to open our eyes and get us to think and address some serious issues. And without open minds and loving hearts, some of these things can't be said. So I won't review again the three options: the clearly wrong choice, that's sinful, easiest, and leads to death; the clearly right choice, that's righteous, hard, and leads to life. And I won't talk again for the third time, review the acceptable alternative that is neither but very complicated. I won't stress again what our purpose and our goal to remind us about the differences between the two and cue us in on how to look for one and to remember that complications are the hallmark of alternatives and compromises. But I will remind us to remember to strive for higher ground, push yourself to make better and stronger choices in the Lord. We spent some time looking at our home life, and I encouraged us to remember that there's always better choices we can make. We spent some time talking about work and reminded us to realize the situation we're in. It's the imperfections and the complications that come with just having to be at work, and to set a clear moral compass you know, daily and be a beacon of right actions in your work. In this last class, we're going to look at ecclesial life. Now, surely there can't be any moral compromises in ecclesial life, right? Surely we haven't accepted anything other than the ideal in our ecclesial life. Unfortunately, I'd say yes. I would feel gutsy enough to stand up front and say that I think organized religion, almost by definition, accepts less than the ideal. First, let's just take a look at this memorial service, the center and soul of our ecclesial life. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll do the easy one first, the wrong choice. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good works. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Clearly, obviously, the wrong choice is for us to abandon our relationship with God. For us to give up on meeting together. To say, fooey on them, it's just not worth it. They're all such bunged up people, I just don't even want to deal with them anymore. And I got so many other problems, like other things I'm going to do. And the golf courses are more empty on Sunday mornings than they are on Saturday mornings. And I just don't want to meet together. Clearly that's wrong. To abandon your relationship, to not remember the sacrifice of our Lord. The clearly right choice is, well, Jesus, Paul recounts it, recounts what Jesus says there in 1 Corinthians 11. Read again Paul's reckoning of that Last Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 25. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you drink this bread, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Our fellowship together, our memorial meal, was intended to extend into our personal lives. That was the idea behind the Last Supper. It was a meal the first Christians shared together, eating and talking, encouraging one another, praying for one another, exhorting one another, uplifting one another, as often as they got together. I think the ideal, what's clearly right, is breaking bread daily. Not relegating it to a certain day of the week. Not restricting it to a symbolic sip of wine and pinch of cracker. A daily remembrance of our Lord's sacrifice around a meal of fellowship would clearly be the right choice. We have accepted an alternative that in and of itself is not right or wrong. It's just an alternative. Alternative meeting together once a week on Sundays, taking the bread and the wine together. But it is important that we remember that. It's important that we realize that, that we understand that whenever you accept an alternative, it brings with it certain complications. Accepting an alternative often doesn't provide the rich level of reward and satisfaction that comes from doing what's clearly right. We may find that in our own memorial service. The fellowship that we share may be stilted. It may not grow as strong as it possibly could if we invested more time, more energy, and more intimate connection with one another, into our relationship, into our memorial service, into our church service. I'm not trying to condemn what we do. I'm just trying to make sure that we're all aware of what we've done, that we haven't just fallen into this as the default position. We have to be aware of the consequences and the complications that arise because of the alternative we've accepted, so we can hopefully face the challenges and meet them successfully. It would require a huge amount of faith to act, to do as the first Christians. Take a look at Acts 2. Take a peek back at what their life was like. Let's read from Acts 2, chapter 4, verse 42. Acts 2, 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily to those who were being saved. I don't know about you, but that would require quite a leap on our part. Just half these things, just, you know, the effort required to meet together daily and to open up and to share what's bothering us and what's in our hearts, to pray for one another, to say nothing about selling everything we have and having everything in common. Whoa, that's like way beyond where we're even headed. But the rewards would be significantly greater. Does this sound like a nice place, a place where you'd like to be? We have glad and sincere hearts. Your days are full of praise to God. We've accepted this alternative. We've decided that it would be easiest and most organized if we just, you know, met together on Sunday, first day of the week. We had an exhortation, 3 hymns, 4 prayers. It was in the same order every week. It'd just be easier to organize. Wouldn't take too much time out of us. And it's not wrong. It's absolutely not wrong. The wrong thing would be for us to ignore it, for us to not take part in it. But it's not as good as it could be. Another area I think that we've accepted alternatives because of it, we're involved in an organized religion, is fellowship. It would be clearly wrong to pretend that we're in fellowship with everyone and share the Lord's table with others regardless of what they believe. Just, hey, come on in. Break bread together. It would be great, it would be wonderful, if our relationships were so small and so intimate that we could sit down with everyone that we ever have contact with and we could personally discuss their beliefs. We could work out agreements between us, and we could fellowship them. This would be clearly right. No one could find fault in that. Well, some people could, but we're not going to talk about them. But the consequences of being a member of a worldwide community cause us to accept an alternative of issuing a statement of faith and basing our fellowship on others' acceptance of that statement. It's not wrong. It's clearly not wrong, but obviously, this method, like all acceptable alternatives, is going to bring with it complications. I'm sure you people here in Belmont are intimately familiar with the complications of a statement of faith. And it's going to bring with it a level of fulfillment and satisfaction that is probably not as great as a more intimate and personal relationship with individuals. And then a part of fellowship that strikes me, and an area where we've accepted an alternative in our ecclesial life, is disfellowship. The clearly wrong choice, I mean, it's scriptural, but would be to ignore the unchristlike actions and lifestyles of people around us and allow them to continue to their ultimate destruction. There's several verses telling us we shouldn't do that. Take a look at Ezekiel chapter 3, and we see the duties and the responsibilities of the watchman. Ezekiel chapter 3, starting at verse 17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. And clearly, we have a responsibility. We can't just allow the person to continue in an unchristlike way, knowing that their path is leading them to death, and not say anything about it. I love the verse in Jude. You want to turn with me to Jude, verse 22 and 23, Jude 22. Be merciful to those who doubt, snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy without fear, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Snatch them from the fire. So we have a responsibility there. The right thing is clear. And let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Starting at verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you. I command you, brethren, to withdraw, the King James says, from every brother that walketh disorderly. So we know what the right thing to do is. We know what the wrong thing to do is. Where we fail, I think, is in the cold outworkings of an organized religion. The concept here is that the fellowship we've been enjoying with our brother or sister is so precious and so valuable that life without this fellowship would be almost unbearable for the offender. So again, in this ideal world where we've not accepted alternatives and the fellowship we share is precious and sweet and it's so integral to our lives that we all depend on it and require it. And then if this person is offending and we withdraw that fellowship, They would feel such a loss if we were to withdraw from them. It would be inspiration and motivation for them to change and to turn from their evil ways and to come back. And that concept is very, very simple. But the reality is that the brother or sister has often already
slip between the cracks. We're not really enjoying a relationship with them that we should be. They've already fallen away. And in reality, we end up just sending them a letter telling them they're no longer able to break bread with us until they resolve their problems. It's not wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying it's a weak alternative, an acceptable alternative we've accepted that woefully falls short of the ideal. And that's kind of indicative, I think, of acceptable alternatives. They fall short of the ideal. That maybe our thoughts when we were younger were better. That maybe all the youthful idealism that filled us, when we were directed by, you know, higher principles, we lived a life based on faith and obedience. Maybe that was better. Maybe accepting all this gray and living in all this gray is what's causing our problems. So the three options, clearly wrong, clearly right, acceptable alternative, I would give you three other words. Idealism, cynicism, devoid of faith, devoid of a life of principles, giving up on the existence of God. In the middle is maybe pragmatism. A life based on principles, but altered to fit reality. And a life that's not quite as sweet. That really is the problem with acceptable alternatives. They, by definition, fall short of the ideal. And our calling in Christ is to the ideal. Our calling in Christ is to take the highest road. Let's read from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse 38. You've heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. If someone hits you, someone strikes you on the right cheek, you have 3 choices. The clearly wrong choice is to strike them back. Your next choice is just to walk away. I'm afraid what happens is we think that's about the extent of it. I'm a good person. I'm a Christian. If you strike me, I'm not going to hit you back. I'm just going to turn and walk away. That is the acceptable alternative. Let's not get confused here. Jesus says the clearly right choice is to give him the other cheek also. If you sue me, if you sue me for $1,000, I'm not going to sue you back. I'm a righteous person. I'm a Christadelphian. I don't sue. I'm just going to pay you the $1,000 and walk away and never have any more dealings with you again. Right? That's the right thing to do. That's the alternative that we've accepted. Christ says the right thing to do is to pay you the $1,000 and give you $1,000 more. Give you my cloak and my coat. If you try to force me into walking a mile with you, the wrong thing would be for me to say, "Are you crazy? Get out of here." The acceptable alternative is just for me to say, okay, I'll go ahead, I'll do it. I'll walk a mile. The right thing is to go too. I mean, that's Christ's whole point. Christ's whole point is don't settle. Don't accept. push on, go higher, do more than what's asked of you, give more than what's required of you. And these are all quite reasonable alternatives, right? It's very reasonable to do what's expected of you. These are very realistic responses. They're very pragmatic. Hey, you sued me for $1,000? You can have the $1,000, okay. I'm not going to fight it. But Christ wants more from us. There's an amazing verse in Ephesians chapter 4. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. It's a little one. You got to catch it before it goes over here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Now, the clearly wrong thing is to steal. So, stop stealing. That would be right, wouldn't it? Nope. That would simply be the acceptable alternative. What we're called to do is to go to work, to make something with our own hands that we can give to the person that needs. So the thief not only has to stop stealing, but the thief has to give to the poor. He has to earn some money and give it away. That same thing is required of us. We can't just not do what's wrong. We have to do right. I use the analogy of being in a river. And clearly the wrong thing to do when a river is drown. Right? So clearly the wrong thing to do is say, hey, it looks like fun down there, and go down and drown. That's death. There's no hope there whatsoever. The alternative to that is to tread water, right? We say to ourselves, we're keeping our head above water. How you doing today? Oh, I'm keeping my head above water. As if that's some kind of goal. The whole point is to get somewhere, to progress, to get to the shore, to get to the kingdom. If we're ever actually going to get closer to shore, we have to start moving. Just because we've stopped stealing doesn't mean we're doing anything right. If we continue to accept the gray as the right, we'll eventually forget how to swim. We'll forget that there is a right. There's this story you've all heard about the boiling frog. Put a frog in a pot of boiling water, it says, I'm not getting in here, and it jumps out. Put a frog in a pot of cold water, turn the heat on. Frog swims around, he's all happy, but pretty soon the water heats up. Frog boils to death. That's what scares me about my life. Is the water just getting hotter and hotter, and I'm happily swimming along? We've got to take time. You've got to step back and look and say, okay, is what I'm doing right? Or have I just accepted an alternative? We need to examine our lives. Don't settle for less than what God wants us to be.
Thank you for listening to the Good Christadelphian Talks podcast. We hope this talk helped you in your walk and brightened your day. If you would like to hear more, please subscribe for new episodes, We are on all major podcast platforms and also on YouTube. If you enjoyed this particular talk, please share it with someone else who you think might enjoy it too. For show notes on the talk you just listened to, visit our website at goodchristadelphiantalks.com or check out the show notes section of your podcast player. Please share your thoughts on the talk from this week on our Facebook or Instagram pages where we are at Good Christadelphian Talks, or leave a comment on our YouTube channel where these talks are posted as well. If you enjoy listening to the talks that we post and hear one that you think we should share, please tell us about it. You can send us a suggestion using the Contact Us tab on our website or message us on any of our social media accounts. Thank you for listening. God bless, and talk to you next week.